Hey there, welcome to the Balanced Mompreneur, a podcast designed to help you grow in business, faith, and motherhood. I'm Cherie Sauer, boy mom, faith-based mompreneur coach, and owner of Heartfelt Mamas. Each week, I will be interviewing faith-filled mompreneurs and giving you tips and tricks to help you grow a profitable, sustainable business without burnout and without sacrificing your family. Let's get started. Hello, friends, back with you today. I'm so excited to have my friend Rachel Steele on the podcast today. This is going to be your very first coffee chat where it's just a conversation between two mompreneurs. We're going to talk about all things mom life, mompreneur life, business, a podcast. She actually has a podcast called The Front Porch Life. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more, what her goals are with that, where she wants to go. So Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us about you, who you are, about your family, where you're from, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. This is a real treat for me to be on the other side of the microphone. So I'm really excited. I'm Rachel and I'm married to Mike and we have two little girls. We have Josie who will be 2 in November and Emmy who will be 1 in November. So we had them very close together. So we have our hands very full. But I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I kind of have a lot of things going on right now, but I'm a kindergarten teacher. I'm also our worship leader at our church, as well as a mom. And then my new adventure that you mentioned earlier is I have started hosting a podcast, the Front Porch Life podcast, and we just wrapped up season 1. So it's been a really fun adventure. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a while and just went for it. And it's been really fun. I'm really excited about it.
So fun. Oh my goodness. So what made you want to start a podcast on top of everything else you have going on?
Yeah. It was probably about 4 years ago I got into listening to podcasts. I had a very long commute to work. So it was about 45 minutes each way and just thought, hey, you know, podcasts are a fun way to pass the time. So I started listening to Jamie Ivey's podcast. It's called The Happy Hour. I don't know if you've ever listened to hers before. Yeah, it's really good. And it just kind of opened my eyes up to a whole new world of, to having these conversations and having it be through this medium of a podcast, but then also I got to know all of these other people that she was interviewing and, you know, I'd buy their books or I would follow them on Instagram or get their Bible studies. And it just kind of opened my eyes to this whole new world. And so Mike and I had actually talked, right after we got married about starting a podcast, the two of us, and the whole idea was like people sharing their stories, especially when it comes to their faith and how they experience God. And we bought the microphone, we were ready, and we just never did it. You know, life just happened and we just never got it off the ground. And so I'd kind of been thinking about it since then. And the summer had a little bit more time off with being a teacher and just decided, let's just try it. And so released the first episode and just went from there.
Fun. Oh, I love it. And so we were just talking right before we hit record on this, but Rachel only does in-person interviews so far. Her whole first season was in-person interviews. So Rachel, tell us more about that because I think that's really unique. I personally don't know of anybody that's doing in-person interviews. So tell us, like, who are you interviewing? What are some of the podcast episodes like?
Yeah. So I did, my first interview was one of my really good friends and she just has this really bubbly personality. And I thought, you know, she'll be the perfect person to interview first because she'll have a lot to say. And then if I don't have something to say, she can fill it. So yeah, she just came over and, She had a 4-month-old son at the time, so he came with her, and then my daughter woke up early from her nap, so we had the kids just like sitting in our laps and making all kinds of noises in the background. But you know, that conversation was just kind of about becoming a mom and some of the things that you go through and that, and your identity changing and your marriage changing. So a lot of the conversations have been those kind of topics, just because that's the stage of life that my friends and I are in. But then it's also been really cool because there's been a few people that I've had on the podcast that I knew, you know, from a few years ago, and we hadn't really connected in a while. And just by asking, they came over and we sat on my actual front porch and got to chat. And that's been really fun because it's been very authentic in that way.
Oh, I love that. And I love that, like, your kids were just sitting in your lap, because I think that especially as moms, we can get all these things in our head of like, oh, well, you know, my kids are too young, or this isn't going to work, or it has to be perfect, or I have to edit it out. Or, you know, there's so many barriers that can come up. And even just like, just taking the leap to do it and doing the, like the first recording or the intro, you know, like it's kind of a big undertaking. So I love that you just kind of just did it, and you just decided, I'm just going to do this, and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, and this is real life. I love that so much.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, it definitely, you know, I'm a perfectionist. So when they would like make the little noises, I would think, oh gosh, we need to stop. And, you know, at times I'd be like standing up and bouncing, you know, Emmy on my hip, but I was like, that's just what it is. And that's why I started this podcast, is because I want people to know they're not alone and that we're all going through this at the same time. So they got a little taste of that for themselves.
Oh, I love it. So what is your, like, what's the goal, or what do you want people to take away when they listen to your podcast? Who is it for? Yeah. Like, who's your ideal market?
Sure. Yeah. You know, so the whole front porch idea came from, well, two things. We had done a sermon series at my church, and we talked about how, you know, as Christians, it's easy to stay in our little comfort zone, stay in our bubble. And so he talks about that being like the living room, and that's where we hang out with the people that are like us, and we just talk about things that we have in common. And then the front porch is where we actually like invite people to join us, and we share stories, and we find areas of connection, but also see things that are different. So I loved that idea. And so I kind of took that idea, and then I thought about myself. And, you know, when I became a mom, there were a lot of things that I didn't realize were coming, like dealing with some postpartum anxiety, some postpartum depression. I struggled with breastfeeding. So there were just like a lot of things that I felt alone in. And then as I started to talk to people, I realized, oh, they're going through the same things that I am, but why aren't we talking about it? So really I wanted to target and have my audience be people that, especially women that are going through some of those same life, stages. But also just for anyone that wants to share something that they're going through or share parts of their story so that we can connect.
I love that. I love the image of, you know, like being safe in your living room, but like the front porch is where anybody comes in, and that connection and opening up our space to be around other people who maybe don't have the same beliefs or whatever it is. And just that, you know, just connecting with moms. And I know when my kids were toddlers, so my boys are 9 and 7 now, but when they were toddlers, and I went from working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week as an athletic trainer to being a stay-at-home mom. And I wasn't used to that. Like, I'm an extrovert. I'm used to being around people all the time. And all of a sudden I found myself cooped up in this house with these two toddlers who are, you know, pushing every boundary possible. And it was lonely, and I didn't know of, you know, mom groups. Like, I didn't even know where to look or where to seek that. And so my husband was really into podcasts, and he said, you should try to find like a podcast for moms. And actually, I think he sent me a podcast. It was like the Christy Wright podcast. And it totally changed my world. I found another one. It was called Mom Struggling Well podcast. And I'm not sure if that one's still going, but just hearing other people's stories and their struggles and that like piece where you feel like you can get connected with somebody and almost feel like you're right there with them. Right. And just that connection piece. So, I love that. Oh my gosh. I love it. What's something that you've taken away? 'Cause you've done how many episodes now?
So the 15th episode will come out tomorrow.
Okay. So that was your season one was 15 episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What do you feel like, what surprised you about this whole process?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I mean, I think that I knew like, okay, my friends will listen to this, you know, because they'll support me and my family will listen to this. But, you know, I've had friends that have shared that they shared the podcast with someone that I don't even know. And then it sparked conversations between the two of them, or they've related to something we've talked about. And I always say on the podcast, like, you know, I'm basically just preaching to myself and trying to encourage myself. Like if someone else gets something out of it, then that's great. But that's like a bonus, you know, and I've had a lot of people that I don't really know reach out and say, hey, like I really connected with this. And it made me feel, you know, like I'm not alone. And I think that's been the cool part, is just the connections that I didn't realize that could even happen from something like this.
So cool. I know podcasts are, it's just like, it's so crazy. I feel like this whole world of information that we can get and connection that we can get. And, you know, even just like Instagram, lately, you know, I've been really intentional about like just voice messaging people. That's how we connected, because it's one thing to have social media be there, you know, and it can feel very superficial. And I don't like social media for that reason. I want to make real connections with real people. About the podcast specifically.
Yeah, I think balancing the podcast and then the rest of life has been tricky, especially in the last couple months. You know, I started this in the summer, and so I wasn't teaching at the time. So I was really able to devote like a lot of my time to the podcast and dreaming about it. And I recorded the interviews during my girls' nap time. So we're able to just get it done like in the afternoon. But now it's like, I kind of have to think about what hat I'm wearing at the moment. So it's like, okay, I'm with my girls. I have to wear my mom hat. Like I can't be trying to multitask and think about other things. And then when I'm at school, like I'm a kindergarten teacher, I have to be wearing that hat. And so, you know, just trying to give myself the time to, not just get by and schedule interviews, but to actually like dream about, okay, well, could we do a series, you know, that could be fun. Or, you know, could I reach out to someone, that I've never met before, you know, like this, like that's, you know, it's been fun, but it takes a lot of pre-planning. And so, just trying to balance all of that. And I know you talk a lot about that on your podcast and with your, clients, of just balancing everything. So that's been a challenge for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, whether, you know, whether we're working full time and have a side gig, or we're just working full time and, you know, making sure that that's not cutting into family life. And, you know, there's all these, like you said, all these different hats, but I love that you said, like, you're intentional about like, okay, this is mom hat. I have to put my mom hat on and my focus has to be on that, or teacher and my focus has to be on that. But that is hard when it takes away that ability to feel like you can dream and, you know, and want to really invest in something that you really are motivated to invest in when your time is kind of spread so thin. You know, that's a challenge for all of us. And I have to be very intentional as well. And like you said, Rachel, like, you know, you're just preaching to yourself. And most of the time, my podcast interviews, it's the same thing. Either it's something I've preached to myself in the past, or I'm preaching it right now, right, to myself, because it is, it's this constant, like, there's never this perfect balance. It's this constant, like, evaluating, okay, where is my priority right now? Like, even today at the park, my boys were playing. And so it's like, okay, you know, they don't need me. They're not asking me to play, so I'll get some work done. And then they come up and I'm like in the middle of the email, and all of a sudden they like want to go and they want my attention. And I'm like, but I'm in the middle of something, like, you didn't need me, you know? And so it's really hard to make those transitions. I think sometimes, you know, I can get into the habit, or not, I don't know if I'd call it a habit, but like, my kids are inconveniencing me. Right. Yeah. And so we do, we all have to be intentional. We all have those struggles, no matter what. So I'm glad you brought up that of like, this has been the challenge, because I'm thinking like, oh my goodness. Okay. You have a full-time job, you got family. When are you doing your podcast interviews and your podcast, you know, cause it's a lot to do a podcast, right? Like, it's not just the interview, it's the editing, it's the getting it out there, it's the description. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. Where do you fit that in?
Yeah. So usually on the weekends, that's when I can do an interview. And so I'll do that then. And then I also have done a few solo episodes. So I just, you do those in the evenings, after the girls go to bed. So yeah, that's kind of the way it is right now, but I would love to be thinking more about like, if there was a set aside day of the week that this is the day I record, you know, I'm not in that groove yet. But that would be nice.
Yeah. I have my days are Monday nights. Monday nights is what I do it, because otherwise, like, honestly, I just won't do them at all. Like, if I don't have it set in my schedule, it just won't happen. So when you started your podcast, what was kind of your vision for it? Like, did you want to eventually monetize it? Was it just kind of a hobby? What was your goal with it?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I started, it was just a hobby. It was kind of a project, something to do, you know, it was something for me. You know, oftentimes we're doing so much for other people, for our kids. And so this was something where I felt like I could, you know, be doing something that I'm passionate about. And, you know, it's kind of just like having a friend over to have a conversation. But then as I've gone on, and I'm realizing like, oh, people are actually really enjoying this. And it's not really just a project for me anymore. It's a project for other people. You know, now my vision has changed to, I would like to have this be a bigger part of my life, like not just a thing I'm doing on the side, but, you know, I would love to monetize it. I would love to be able to reach more people. And so just trying to think through like, okay, then, you know, what does that look like? What are my next steps moving forward? So I think that's in the phase I'm in right now.
Is your hope to eventually leave your full-time job, or are you still wanting to do that? What does that look like?
You know, I feel like I'm just taking it year by year. So I've always been a full-time teacher. This year I'm teaching part-time. So I'm only, it's half day kindergarten. So I'm only teaching the afternoon class now. So I'm home in the mornings. And I'm just open to possibilities. You know, I love teaching, and I'm not saying like, this is my resignation, but right, you know, I right. think I've found that this podcast is something that I have a real passion for. And so I would be very interested in seeing how far we could take it.
What do you feel drives you? Like, where do you think that passion comes from?
Oh goodness. That's a good question. I think, again, just going back to like, I did a whole episode on that because I just felt like I had no idea how I was going to react and experience things in that postpartum phase. I mean, we learn how to take care of the baby and we take all these classes and no one tells you anything about your hormones, you know? And so I think that was a big thing where I was like, okay, look, Like, if you are feeling some of these symptoms, like, please talk to someone. Like, I had that where after we had Emmy, I just got to this point where I was like, I'm getting so frustrated at things that I don't usually get frustrated about. I am not wanting to, you know, go do things that I usually enjoy. And so it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm just going to message my doctor. And we talked about getting on medicine for postpartum depression. And then I talked to my friends, and two of them also were going through the same thing. And it was like, you know, why don't we just openly share about this? So that was one thing that I talked about on the podcast, as well as I had a C-section the second time around, and it was actually a scheduled C-section, and just kind of the stigmas that go along with that. Like, I didn't even realize that there were stigmas around C-sections until I started telling people I was going to have one. And everyone was like, oh, why are you having a C-section? And I felt like, well, I don't think I need to explain myself, but, you know, just some of those topics that, they're just not talked about. And so I just opened up the conversation. I explained what the C-section looked like for me and what the process was and the fact that it was still a birth. And a lot of people don't say that all the time. So yeah, just some of those conversations.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And I used to talk about this a lot more. So when I first started my business, it was self-care gift boxes, and it was really to support moms in different stages of motherhood. And so it was like, it was, you know, it was opening up these conversations. And what I found was there's so much judgment from all different directions, right? And like, even for me, I wanted to do a natural birth, and there was judgment on that. Like, I had people telling me like, oh, don't try to be a martyr. Don't. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be a martyr. That's not what it's about for me. Like, this is just a decision that I feel intuitively that this is what I want to do, and it's the right decision for me. And there wasn't a lot of support in it. It was, and you know what I really think it comes from, like, as I've talked to people and I see this, is I think it's other people's insecurities of them feeling like, oh, well, I couldn't do that. So do you know what I mean? And even down to like breastfeeding or bottle feeding. And, you know, if somebody's really feel strongly about breastfeeding, then there's this judgment against bottle feeding. Or, you know, if it goes like all different directions, it's not from anyone one way. And I think when we don't understand people's history, we don't understand where they're coming from or why they're making their choices. And it doesn't matter why they are. Our job is to support one another in any decision that we decide to make, because that's the right decision for us. And, you know, down to parenting our kids, like, nobody can tell you what the right thing is to do for you or for your family or for your own body. And I'm just so passionate about that. So I love that, like, you're just opening up this conversation on your podcast, Rachel, because there's that judgment that you felt on C-section. Like, I felt the same kind of judgment on wanting to have a natural birth. And it's so like, why is that even necessary? Right?
Yeah. Wow. That is, you know, that is funny. It's like two ends of the spectrum, and here we are feeling the same thing.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Did you have C-sections with both of your kiddos?
No. So with Josie, we were induced, and then I ended up having preeclampsia. And so I was on magnesium. And so I was, you know, just kind of out of it. And then we ended up having forceps to help deliver her. So I tore pretty badly.
Oh gosh.
And, so my doctor just, you know, and then we got pregnant pretty quickly. So my doctor offered that if I wanted to have, an elective C-section with Emmy, that we could. And it was a hard decision. And I think what it came down to for me was that if I had not done the C-section, I would have been putting a lot of pressure on that vaginal birth, because I would be in my head trying to like redeem the situation that happened with mm-hmm. Josie's birth. And I just thought, you know, like, I don't need that pressure. I don't need to go through that again. So I just want a totally different experience. And I'm really glad I did. It was, you know, I was awake. I was understanding what was happening. I felt like I was choosing what was happening to my body. And it was a really great experience.
Yeah, I love that. And it's more traumatic, right? When you have something in your mind of the way you want your birth to go, and then it rarely goes that way, right? Like, it's usually like quite the opposite for most people. And so then you have this in your head of what you want to happen, and then that doesn't happen. And that's really traumatic for a lot of people.
It is. Yeah. And that, and kind of in that episode too, like I just shared, you know, I do know a few friends that had to have emergency C-sections, and that was very traumatizing to them because, again, they weren't expecting it to go that way. And so I just said, you know, I want people to go into their births knowing like the different options that could happen. So that way, if they do have an emergency C-section, they kind of know what that's going to be like ahead of time. And so they're not just totally blindsided by that procedure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because not a lot of people talk about C-section, really. I mean, I haven't heard a lot about, I've heard people talk about, you know, different types of birth, but I feel like there aren't a lot of people that have really like dove into like, this is what a C-section is and this is what it's like. And you know, the after, and so interesting that you felt like people, like you were having to explain yourself, like, we don't have to explain ourselves. Yeah. And if we just said, you know, if we just can understand that people make the decisions that they do for a reason, you know, like it's not like people are just making this like willy nilly decision out of nowhere and not, you know, not putting a lot of thought into it. And so, yeah. Oh gosh. Good conversation. did you have postpartum depression after both of your kiddos?
I think in hindsight, there were signs of it with my first, didn't really reach out for help in that regard. And just kind of moved on. And I think the second go around, it was like, okay, like this isn't normal.
Bad thoughts. You want to hurt your baby. And, you know, and like those can be a part of it as well. I know I have friends who have felt that way or wanting to hurt themselves, you know, but then there's this side of it as well that you're talking about. Is this just this like, oh, I just don't have motivation. I don't want to do anything. And I was just talking to, I just did an interview with a friend who's a mental health counselor. And we were just having this conversation as well, because she experienced postpartum depression. And we were talking about like, oh, they say it's within, I can't remember what she said, but it has to be within like the first 12 weeks. When in reality, a lot of people have symptoms through the whole first year, and sometimes even after the first year. And sometimes symptoms don't even come on until months after delivery. And so I feel like these sheets that they send you home with from the hospital are so, I feel like they make you, and maybe this was just me, but almost like there's something wrong with you, you know, mm-hmm. And the symptoms were, there was like six symptoms listed when in reality, like there's so many more symptoms than that. And so I think people a lot of times don't even realize they have postpartum depression because they're not falling in line with these six symptoms that they list.
Yes, definitely. And like you said, there are definitely some pretty extreme symptoms. And I think that's what's, you know, that's what's on the TV shows. That's what is on that list. And like you said, there's just a whole multitude of ways that that can manifest itself. And I think it just comes down to like, you know yourself the best. Mm-hmm. And if you're realizing like, this isn't me, you know, this isn't the way that I react to things, that's something to pay attention to.
I was telling somebody this the other day, is like, I feel like it's weird, but I feel like my postpartum depression came when my kids were like toddlers. Like looking, I didn't know it at the time, but like looking back now, and I think probably because I went back to work, you know, my oldest was like 5 months old, and my second, he was, I think, 3 or 4 months old. And so I was just busy all the time, but like I also traveled, and that was really hard. And you know, I just was go, go, go. It's almost like I didn't have time to stop and think about what was happening until I found myself as a stay-at-home mom. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, all of these like symptoms started coming out, and down to the like, oh my gosh, I literally feel like I'm going to hurt my child if something doesn't change, like drastically change right now. And, you know, and so looking back now, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I had that when my kids were toddlers. But again, nobody said like, oh, I didn't have it in the first 12 weeks. So I didn't have it. And I was, you know, I'm all good and I don't need help. It's just so fascinating. Like the more moms I talk to about this and the more people open up, I think this is becoming, you know, even on social media, like way more people are opening up and talking about this. And the crazy thing is how common it actually is. I think it used to be like, oh, it's such a small percentage. And then I think that makes you feel even worse when you think like you're in the minority, right? When really in reality, it's much more common. And people who have multiple kids, probably a majority of them have had postpartum depression with at least one of them. I would guess. That's not a statistics, but that's my guess from how many people I've talked to.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with you. And I think my favorite phrase I heard someone say was like, you're postpartum the rest of your life. Like, you know, you really are. Like, and these things can come up at any time, and you're not the same person. And, you know, you're just figuring out a whole new world.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What's something that's been the most surprising to you in motherhood?
Oh man, you know, wow, there's lots of ways I could go with this. I think it's just, you learn so much about yourself. And I think you give of yourself so much when you are a mom, that you, it's like by taking away some of those things that you used to do, you start to understand yourself a little bit more. Like, I was talking with a friend the other day about, you know, when you finally do get some time to yourself, it was hard for me to even think what I would want to do during that time, you know? And so I think it's allowed me to look at myself a little more and be like, oh, what do I enjoy? What does fill my bucket? And so I think that was surprising, because you're thinking about like getting to know these little ones, but it is turning the mirror back on yourself a little bit too. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's almost like relearning who you are. And like, okay, I used to like this thing, but is that what I really want to spend my time on? Maybe I'll go take a bath instead.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? Like that's what I think about. You know, you've really have to ask yourself like, okay, is this worth the, you know, 30 minutes or an hour, 2 hours that I get to myself? And I think that's something too, that isn't stressed enough, is that moms carry so much guilt in when they think about like, I just need time away. I need time alone. And they think that there's something wrong with them, that they want that time away. Like they're not being a good mom. They're not loving, they must not love their children if they need to, you know, get out of the house or get away from a crying child or, you know, whatever it is. And there's so much guilt that we carry, guilt and shame as moms. And I think that was like my big thing when I started my boxes and when I started Heartfelt Mamas, was like, no, like it's the opposite of that. Like you absolutely need that time to yourself. You need time to refuel and rejuvenate. So you can be the best for your kids. And I didn't understand that when, you know, I was used to taking care of everybody else. I took care of athletes. And then all of a sudden I became a stay-at-home mom, and like, I just was go all the time. I didn't understand what self-care even was, or what rest was, or being alone was. I didn't know what that was. I didn't need to be alone until I had kids. I joke that I'm like an extrovert turned introvert extrovert because I never used to need alone time and I hated quiet. And now I like cannot get enough of it. like I still obviously love connecting with people and being around people, but I also really, really need my alone time or nobody wants to be around me.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I used to joke when my husband and I were first married, because he's an introvert and he would want to go do something by himself, which meant I was then by myself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be by myself. Like I just want to be with people all the time. Now I think all I want to do is be by myself.
Oh my gosh. That's so true. It's so true. Oh, so funny. I remember going, this is just kind of like a funny memory that popped up, like just thinking about being by yourself, but it was like right before Christmas. And it was during my phase of being a stay-at-home mom. And I just remember calling my mom and being like, Mom, can you come over? I need to go get a massage. I just need to get out. And I was just like so stressed. And I went into the massage and, you know, they usually have like the, you know, the massage-y relaxation music. And I asked her to turn it down. And so she turned it down a little bit. And I was like, actually, can you just turn it off? I'm sorry. Like, I literally cannot handle noise right now. I can't even relax with any noise. And she was like, okay. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So on that topic, what do you do for self-care? Like, what do you do to rejuvenate yourself that you just need to do to refuel on kind of a weekly, daily, monthly basis?
Yeah. I love to go on walks. We have a neighborhood that's very walkable. So whether that's me pushing the girls in the stroller and just having like a podcast in or music, or going on walks by myself, that's also awesome. I think another one that Mike and I have done for each other recently that's been really good is we've scheduled time for the two of us to separately go to like a coffee shop by ourselves. So we had a really busy week this past week. And so Saturday morning, we put in the calendar that I got to go to a coffee shop, and I just went by myself. I brought a book and I sat there and I read, and that was just a nice time for me to rejuvenate so then I could come back and be better. But I've really appreciated those scheduled moments because it gives me time or something to look forward to. So that's been really good.
Yeah. So important. And you guys are doing that on a weekly basis?
Yeah. For the most part, we've usually been like alternating. But this past week we each got to go cause it was super busy.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that a lot. That schedule and when it's scheduled, like you go, right? But when it's not scheduled, when you don't put something on the calendar, just nothing ever happens. And then you get to a point where you're like, you know, yelling at the kids or whatever, yelling at your husband. And then do you guys do like dates, like alone time together? How do you guys schedule that in?
Yeah. We haven't really been great about scheduling dates necessarily. We kind of just like look at the week coming up and maybe we'll find a date. So usually it's like twice a month, once a month, we'll maybe get out just the two of us. But we've tried to keep Thursday nights pretty free. So we're not necessarily going out, but at least we know Thursday nights we're both at home and we can catch up on a show or just hang out, you know, order pizza, whatever. But that's been a nice rhythm that we've been in of just having that Thursday night to look forward to.
Yeah. Date night in after the kids go to bed, man, that counts. I think so many people get stuck on, and I used to get stuck on this too, is like, you have to leave the house. And yes, that's nice. But just even if you can't leave the house, it doesn't mean that you can't still spend quality time with your husband after the kids are in bed, you know? I think the challenging thing is, you know, if they keep getting up and they come out, that can be challenging. So it's definitely good to get away. But I think sometimes we can get so stuck in this mindset of like, oh, well, we can't have a date because we can't get out of the house, or we can't have a babysitter, and you know, those things. But honestly, my husband and I, we rarely leave for dates anymore. A lot of times we just end up watching a show or a movie together, and that's our thing. That's what we love to do. And that works for us. And so I think you know, just setting aside like what everybody else is doing and tune in with like what works for you. And some people like they thrive off of going out and eating or going to a movie. And you know, if that's what you need, then do it, man. So yeah. What is something that you thought, like, what's something you expected motherhood was going to be like, or your kids were going to be like, or your marriage was going to be like, that like totally got flipped on its head, that you were like, wait, what just happened?
I think just kind of when we were talking about like the introvert extrovert thing, when we first got married, you know, I thought, oh, we will do everything together. You know, like we'll go to the gym together and we'll play games and we'll read at the same time and all of those things. And I think part of that was also me being an extrovert and just being like, you're my best friend and I love you and I want to do all these things. And you know, we kind of had to work through like, oh no, it's okay if I go to the gym and you go do something else, and kind of working through that and not getting our feelings hurt when that happens, but just communicating with each other. And I think that's too where it's good to have some of those set aside times that you know you're going to be together, because then if you're often doing different things, then you don't feel like you're missing each other because you have that set aside time. But I know I had to learn that. I was pretty sensitive in that early marriage stage of just feeling like, oh, you don't want to hang out with me. It's like, okay, I think everyone needs a break from each other at some point,
Yes,
but
especially introverts. Oh my gosh, like they really, really need that alone time. So, as we wrap up here, I'm gonna give you a couple lightning round questions. We already talked about self-care, so we'll kind of skip past that one. But do you know what your Enneagram number is?
yes, I am an Enneagram 6.
Okay.
So I'm the loyalist, they call it.
That's my husband too.
Okay. Yeah,
Okay, do you know what your husband is?
so we think he's a 2. I think he's either a 2-wing 3 or a 3-wing 2. So he's in that general vicinity.
Okay.
He hasn't done quite as much research into it as I have. So I was a really big Enneagram person there for a while.
Okay. Oh, it's so fascinating. It's just like I just find it so fascinating.
Yeah.
How do you feel like knowing your number has helped you?
I think the biggest thing was I was listening to a podcast actually on the Enneagram numbers, and they talked about how an Enneagram 6 has this like committee in their head. And so we really doubt our own voice at times. And so we have all these voices in our heads like, well, this person might think this if you make that decision, or but what about this idea over here? And it's hard for us to make a decision and to trust ourselves. We want someone else to tell us what to do. And so I felt like that gave me language for what I feel a lot of the times. You know, I have trouble making those bigger decisions or even small decisions on my own because I don't trust that I'm going to know what's best and I need someone else to tell me. So that's been something that's been interesting to think about and be like, no, actually, you can trust your gut on this. I think you know what to do.
Yeah, it was really interesting learning that my husband was a 6 and understanding. I actually listened to the Ian Cron podcast. I can't remember what it's called at the moment, but he wrote the book, The Path Back to You, I think.
Yes.
But there was a he interviewed a 6, and I had sent it to my husband because he was trying to figure out like what number he was. He took the test. It said he was a 6. He kind of read through it, but it didn't really like connect. He was just kind of like meh, you know. Whereas I was like, when I found out my number, I was so fascinated by it because it just like it was like the glass shattered like on all of these things of like, oh, that's why I do that, or that's why I react this way. And now knowing that, I can be like, okay, wait a minute, like. I need to not like just avoid this because it feels painful or whatever it is. But so he listened to an interview over six, and he was like, oh my gosh, it literally felt like she was inside of my head. And so then I listened to it after he was like, yeah, I'm definitely a six. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense, because there were times where he would, you know, he would like ask, like, did you lock the door? Did you do this? Or did you do? And I'm like, yes, I did it. You know? And I took it as like he didn't trust me. And so, and once I heard that podcast, it just like totally brought everything together. And it's really helped us, I think, understand one another and be able to communicate more, and help me to be able to like be more empathetic toward what he's feeling or saying. Yes. I'm just like, I'm so fascinated by the Enneagram. I love it. Okay. And then last question. What would you say to, could be a mompreneur, it could be somebody wanting to start a podcast, it could be a mom, what piece of advice, what would you want them to know?
Yeah. I think is my piece of advice would be to just go for it. Like, I wanted to start a podcast for 4 years, and I had the name and the idea for the podcast for a year before I actually did it. And it was just always this thought of like, well, how do I start? And, you know, what are the exact steps I need to follow? And once I got over the fear of starting and I jumped in, I immediately felt like I was doing the thing that God had called me to do. And I think we just do that all the time. Like, we have these ideas and we feel like, oh my gosh, I think I'm supposed to do that. But we hesitate and we want like the perfect sign from God, or we want everything to be lined up. And I just think God just wants us to be obedient, and he wants us to just start, because he's going to figure out the rest. But we have to be the ones to initiate it. So yeah, I think if you have something that you want to do, just try it, and, you know, just go for it.
Yeah. Such good conversation, Rachel. So good to have you on. Is there anything else that you want to say, to the audience? Anything you want to share?
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me. I mean, you were the first person that I connected with on Instagram that wasn't someone I already knew. And it was so fun just to see, just, you know, a small connection made, and that we could even do this together. So I'm thrilled that I was able to be on, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So good to have you, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining today's episode. I'm so thankful to have you here. And I just want you to know that God did not give you the gifts and the passions and the desires in your heart for you to feel overwhelmed and stressed, for you to be grumpy with your kids. We've all been there. I have been there. But I want you to know that God has equipped you with the ability to work from rest instead of stress. For the ability to find balance, and it's not about perfection. And it looks different for everyone. And I want to help you get there. I want to invite you in to my free Heartfelt Mamas community, a space where we grow together in business, faith, and motherhood. And if you are looking for a little extra accountability, join us in the Mompreneur membership, where we meet 3 times a month. For more information, you can follow me at Heartfelt Mamas on Instagram or Facebook. You can go to my website at Heartfelt Mamas. That's HEARTFELTMAMAS.com/community. I can't wait to chat with you next week.